So today, I was debating in my heart about few different thoughts I had in my mind to speak today. And then by last night, I decided one topic, and the topic is grace. And I was still wondering, is that the topic? And then I came here in the morning, and during breaking bread, where David stood up and he shared that same topic, grace. And even he sang that song. He asked to sing that song, Amazing Grace. So that made me that real assurance. Yeah, that is the one Holy Spirit want me to speak. And then after that, now the Family Bible Hour. Brother Neville again brought that same song, and the Bible reading also were leading to the same way. So that means we need that topic today. And it was in the heart of God, and the Holy Spirit worked between us three, one in Newmarket, one in Brampton, another in Port Union. So the Holy Spirit was connecting all of us together. And now I am here. Just sharing that great thought or truth, grace. So today, I will be sharing two aspects of grace. One is common grace, and next is special grace. Common grace and special grace. Or we can say general grace and special grace. We can use efficacious grace or effective grace. Also, you can use the word, some theologians use the word irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. That is another word. So you can select whichever you want. First one is general or common grace. And the second one is very much related to us, the special grace or the efficacious grace, the grace that will lead to real effect. Or irresistible grace, such a grace that it will produce its effect. It will lead to result. Excuse me. So that is our topic for today. So we will start with one verse. And today I will not be taking many verses because I want to show grace to you. So I'll be reading only a few verses. So let's start with one verse first. So first verse is Psalms 145, verse 9. Psalms chapter 145, verse 9. And the verse says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." So that is the first verse we are reading. The Lord is good to all, not to us in Bridal Grove, not to the children of God, not to the Old Testament saints, not to the New Testament saints, but Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, over all his works. So that is the first aspect of grace. So the Lord is, our God is good to all. Anyway, thank you. Always everything in abundance is good. Okay, so God is good to all. And thank you, Brother Rudy. And he is good to all his works. So that is the aspect of common grace. So our God is such a God, he has that goodness, that grace to all his works, not only to us in Bridal Grove, to others, the other children of God in different parts of the world, but all the unbelievers and to all the dogs and cats and animals and to all the good plants and trees and to the earth and the universe. Because he has that tender mercy, that common grace, that general grace to all his creation. So that is a wonderful thought. He is good to all. So that we should just take it in our heart. My Father is good to all. So I should be good to all. But sometimes we are grumpy. Some people we don't like. Yeah? But he should be good to all, because my Father is good to all. So that is the basic character of God, and that is why we call God has a common general grace to all creation. So grace, we know, we all know the basic things, so that's why I'm not going there. Grace means it's unmerited favor. That is grace. Also, we say getting something or receiving something you are not deserving. You are not deserving. So that is what grace. So even the plants, they are getting something they don't deserve. Even the dog, he is getting or she is getting something he doesn't deserve. All the human beings in the world, they are getting something they don't really deserve. And we as believers, we are getting the salvation or the eternal life that we don't deserve. So that is the first aspect of common grace. So now we are going a little deeper into that. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. So that is the creation account. So that is the place where to start. So you may remember about one pastor who was invited to speak one place, and he started and he read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and then he read Revelation chapter, last verse. What is this chapter? 21? 22, last verse. And then he started speaking from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Then the congregation thought he will speak until he finishes Revelation, last chapter, last verse. So they were scared, all their countenance changed, but he spoke only from Genesis 1:1. He stopped there. So praise God. So today I am reading, so don't feel scared. Just reading the Genesis creation account. So we will read few verses, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So this is an account we have to read once in a while. No, we should read it often. Why? Because every day this portion is questioned. That is why. Every day, in every place, in every culture, in every country, one or many atheists will stand up and say, this is garbage. So every day this is being questioned. So every day you should read and be assured about your creation. So let us read. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. See, after the light, he created the sun, or he converged the light to the sun for us. Sorry. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. That's why we have night and day. Think about having no night. See, if you go to the Arctic, to the North Pole, they have almost light 12 months. But there's difference in the intensity of light. But think about having only day. All the time, sun is standing same place and the earth is like that, always day. Or think about that always night. So that is the grace of God. See, if you were created in this fashion and God then decided there is no night, always day, life will be miserable. And if God decided and then he created light, no light, only darkness. Think about 24-hour darkness, continuous night. And we have to use the electricity and to live with that light. Just think about it. And can anyone in the world until this time, these many intelligent scientists and everybody tried? Can anybody has the ability to find a light that can compare maybe 1% with the sunlight? 1%. See, now even we are inside this one, this building, and there are some light, this light, but the sunlight is already inside. But think about at night. There is no sunlight and this light. That is not sufficient to see things. But when the sun rises, it lights comes from far away places. Just a few minutes, 8 minutes, coming and hitting the earth. We can see things clearly. What kind of a brightness the sunlight has. You remember the solar eclipse? When just the moon, just covered for a little while, there was a kind of darkness. So that is the power of light. So no, we cannot compare the brightness of sunlight, the quality of sunlight, the effects of sunlight. And I can go to the science. I'm not going there. The about the light. So it is a grace of God that he created us, and then before creating us, he created light and darkness, day and night. So I'm just not going to read, but we all know this. So just making my point. So God created all the universe, one after another, then water, then the fishes, then the animals, and then he made all those arrangements. And then Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. We will read that verse. Genesis 1 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, God created him. Male and female created he them. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So what a graceful Heavenly Father. He made this gigantic man. What word I can use? Such a universe, and then he created that. What an arrangement. What an afterthought. What kind of I couldn't say anything. I don't have words. When we plan to have a wedding, when we plan to have a program, we make all the arrangements, and then the we will invite the guests so that the guest comes, everything is ready. God did the same fashion. That is the grace of God, the common grace for all the people, for all the creation. No creation has no trouble anywhere. Fishes, each fish has that kind of water. That is why there is Atlantic Ocean and Pacific Ocean. Otherwise, some of the whales, the blue whale, the big one, he cannot survive in Indian Ocean. No, that is, water is not enough for him. He needs more depth. So all these arrangements, the small plants to the fishes, then the animals, all these were made. God arranged everything for all his creation, then created one after another, and everything was set up. Then he decided to create us, or he created Adam. And even he can create Adam in any other form. It is the maximum grace of God that we can see in that verse. He created in his own image. Praise God. Think about us being created in like animal. Some people are behaving like animal, and some people are propagating the theory that, yeah, we came from monkey. They want to believe that. But think about if you were created in that fashion, If we don't have the soul and spirit, think about it. It is the grace of God that He decided to create us in His image. Because we were created in His image, how blessed are we? We can understand things, we can know God, we can believe on God, and we can do all these things. Think about your body, think about your soul, your spirit, think about your brain. What kind of a computer is this? What kind of a computer is this? Oh man, you cannot imagine. If a child, it says this computer, if a child within 1 year, from the 0 age to 1 year, if a child hears any number of language, any number of language, hears from his parents or from other people, he will speak all that languages without grammar mistake. That is the power of this computer. But in the usual computer, when we do something, it will receive, you will get some information back. It don't have the information because the whoever that Apple or Microsoft, they didn't have that in that software. It was not given to that software. But this software has everything. This software has everything. So that is the common grace of God. God created man in His own image. Praise God, praise God, praise God. That is the grace of God. Grace of God. So I want to move forward because time is already gone. I have only 10 more minutes. So I have to go to the efficacious grace. So just think about it. That is common grace. Then I will read two more verses just to show the common grace of God. That is Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So actually, we were studying Romans, and these things are coming to our mind. That's why I was leaning towards this topic. So Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. See, here we read, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That is another grace of God. Anybody, any child just opens the eyes and see the things around, all on a sudden it imprints in his or her heart about God. Just seeing these things, just seeing the sun rising in the morning and all the things that are happening around, even that gives the idea of the Creator. So that's what God says. God shows that grace to all people, that people were created in that fashion. When they see these things, it actually manifests there is a God. It actually manifests. That is all another grace. Then another verse, that is again from Romans chapter 2, 14 and 15, about us Gentiles. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So that is another common grace of God. Any human being, not like an animal, any human being has that moral conscience. That is also grace of God. Even you don't need to go and study anything. No need the Ten Commandments. No need any other law. You know what is right and wrong inside your heart. God has given that inside your heart. You know. Any child knows as he grows up without getting any instructions. He himself knows, because inside God gave that conscience inside, right or wrong. So that is a grace of God. That's a common grace of God. Otherwise, we will be like animals. But here, man has that moral integrity, moral values. Everywhere we can see that moral values. Even we go to these very indigenous people, there are people in you maybe heard about Maldives. There's a island in Indian Ocean, Maldives. There are people, these people are such primitive people, and they will attack anybody. Only they think that they are only human beings. Whatever people, other people are all their food. So they will attack any other human being. But the thing is, they don't attack themselves. And they don't do the books about them. When we read the books about them, their moral value is very high. They have a very high standard. No schools, nothing, no government, nothing. Just human beings and animals in that island. So that is the grace of God. God gave that into our hearts, that conscience. If you don't have the conscience, think about it. So that is another common grace of God. And then Matthew chapter 5:45, our Lord said, Matthew chapter 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. See the rain? It is falling on everybody on the earth. And the sun rises. It just rises and coming to GTA only? No. It is for the whole earth. And the rain, how the rain comes? You try. We have these many lakes, homes. Huron, what is homes? Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior. We have 5 lakes, this many water. Think about having no snow, no rain in Canada for 1 or 2 years. Try to irrigate. Try to pour water. Do all kinds of things, mechanical way you can pour water. Think about that. But that is not enough. But just 10 minutes rain, how much effect it has on the earth? Just 10 minutes. You will be spending millions of dollars to pump water from Lake Ontario and try to irrigate. Because I know agriculture science. I studied that. So we know the effect of water. And water is called liquid gold. Liquid gold. Water is called. So that is water. So just one rain from heaven, when God gives that just one rain, its effect, you cannot make that effect by irrigation, by water, pouring water. So that is the grace of God. And God does not have any partiality. The sun is coming out, the rain is coming, and it is to all the people. So that is the common grace of God. So I'm stopping there this for that portion. So we all understood that God has such a heart. He is good to all his works and showing that grace. That is why we were able to live with this world. And it is planned in such a way that how good we are. Think about the sunlight. Think about the oxygen. See, we are taking it freely. Giving out carbon dioxide. The day we came out and until the last birth, it is free. Go to the hospital. Here because of OHIP, you are not paying. You go to another hospital and if you feel some congestion and don't able to breathe, breathing difficulty, they will give you oxygen. There will be a bill. You will get heart attack if it is more than a week or so, the bill, the amount for oxygen. And now we are getting this free. And the water, we are paying for water. And who is filling the water in Lake Ontario? It is by the rain. It's coming. It's circling around. And the sunlight. Oof. I have no words. You just think about it. And just give God thanks. It is the grace of God. It's the grace of God. The Creator did that for us. Now we will go to the next one. That is called the efficacious or the irresistible grace of God. That is also coming to us, but everybody is not taking it, but we as believers, those who are here, as Christians born again, you took it. But if anybody is now not took it, this is the time to take it. Because you have the common grace and you are enjoying the common grace of God, and God is good to you, but God is more good to you to give this special grace. Okay, let's read one verse. That is Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Acts 16:14. I'll stop in 10 minutes. Acts 16:14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, that heard Paul and the team, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So that is the efficacious grace. Or that is the irresistible grace. So everybody is listening. Everybody is hearing. And the gospel is being preached. But Lydia was sitting there. What happened? God opened her heart. God opened her heart. That is the special grace. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. God opened their heart, her heart, and she accepted. So that is the efficacious grace, or that is the irresistible grace. So one way we can say that when God opens your heart, you cannot resist it. That is why it is called irresistible grace. When God opens your heart, you cannot resist it. God opened it. And you received him as your Lord and Savior. But the same thing about creation also. God created. Did you resist God? That don't create me. Can you resist God? And how we were created, we have no choice. The one thing in the world. Think about every other thing you have choice. You can select your course. You can select your place you live. You can select the material you want to build your house. You can select the food you want to eat. You can select the teachers. You can select the government programs. You can select the church. You can select the your friends, so everything. But you cannot select your parents. You cannot select where you will be born. You cannot select which ethnicity you will be. We have no option. What a wonderful thing is the creation of God. We have no option. But God created us fearfully and wonderfully. See me, how beautiful and fearful, wonderful I am. I never gave any application that I want to be created. I never selected my parents. But God created me, and see my wife, she is more pretty. She also never gave any, but we both selected, that is another thing. There is a selection there. But in our creation, there is nobody selected. And the parents could not select. And it is the marvelous creation of God. So that is why, So those who say there is no God and think that I came from monkey, what will we answer? I sometimes feel very angry sometimes. Yeah, in my workplace, yeah, I feel angry. And there was some discussions, and this man or woman kind of thinking. And I felt angry, and one lady, she is from Middle East, and she came here and she said she don't want to wear clothes. And she said, then we will say to her, why you are not coming like this to the office? Then she was telling to me, Joseph, I came here for freedom. What are you telling? You want me to cover again? I was there in such a country and came here for freedom. And then she was arguing with this transgender kind of thing. And then I told, I was just, I got angry. I said, I am a man and you are a woman. She almost stood up and tried to hit me. She didn't like it. Almost. But other friends were there, so nothing happened. So that's how people are reacting. She don't want to acknowledge that she is a girl. What can you do? That is the world we are living in. By the grace of God, He created us, this man and woman, beautiful creation. How beautiful are we? Think about all the organs. I used to imagine if we were created some other way, if my head is in my hands position, think about my head is in my hands position and my hand is in my head's position. Did you try to think these wild imaginations? Any of the organ you think, there are some studies. There are some studies you can read in Google. People trying to how can be a better model of a human being. They are trying using this algorithm and the statistics. There are some things you can use different multiple choices and make how the organ is replaced. No, nobody was ever came with another good, perfect. But how beautiful we are, guys. Look at us. Every organ is fitted in such a position that it functions well. And the heart, it starts beating one day and it will beat the last breath until that day. It is appointed. Until that time, it will breathe. It will do that. I don't want to say anything. Let's give God thanks. Praise God that His grace is such a grace. So open the heart of Lydia. So Lydia, in our language, we call Lydia. So this is Lydia. So open the heart of Lydia. And when the Lord opened His heart, her heart, so that is the efficacious grace or the irresistible grace. She said, Amen. So also our own hearts were opened and we said, Amen. So now read one more portion. We will close soon. Ephesians chapter 2. So we will be singing in our hearts, going to our courts at home, and we will be saying thanks to God the whole days, because that much is done for us. That is the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read 4 to 10, few verses. Ephesians chapter 2. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ, with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The grace of God, the much grace of God, that is what happened in our heart, and it quickened our heart. Quickened our heart. That's what happened. When I got saved, that is what happened. I still remember I was hearing all these types of things about Jesus Christ from my childhood, from my parents. But I never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I again heard the same Bible, same words, everything same. But that quickened. That is the irresistible, efficacious grace of God. God said, Joseph, you believe. I said, okay. Simple, okay. Like that, Lord said, all of you, believe. This is the truth. You all said, Amen. If anybody is here, not said Amen, today you should say that. Because maybe as Lord opened the heart of Lydia, your heart may be opening now. God is opening it. Because it is the work of the Lord, not by me, not by any of evangelical preachers. Even Billy Graham could not open the heart of any person, but the Holy Spirit just opens it. It's like getting a connection all on a sudden. So that is how it works. So that is called the special grace of God, the efficacious, the irresistible grace of God. Okay, now we will stop with Apostle Paul. How can I stop without telling Apostle Paul about this grace? So Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. Reading that, then we will close. Just I will comment in few words, then we will close. Then you go and research more about this. Lot of things about grace that we can see in the Word of God. Acts chapter 9, 1 to 8. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of his way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Think about what is the current situation of Saul's heart. Going to catch people and to bind them and to kill them. So that is the heart. Think about that heart. You know the heart. Huh? Okay, now next verse. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? See the change of heart. The flash of a moment changed. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? 2 seconds before, he was going to kill people. Now he is asking after 2 seconds, Oh Lord, what should I do? And then, and the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, heard a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from there, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. The rest is a history. A man was efficaciously caught by the Lord. Irresistible grace. Paul couldn't do anything. Going in such a hardened heart to kill the people, catch them and kill them, draw them to Jerusalem and kill them. Such a man was turned around in a second. That is the irresistible grace of God. And that is the irresistible grace of God that happened in my life and happened in the lives of any person who being born again by the grace of God. Praise God, it is such a wonderful thing. And think about this salvation. So let me stop with that. Let me stop here. So think about this salvation. When we read the book of Romans, we are coming across all these thoughts about salvation, the doctrine of soteriology, that is the doctrine of salvation. And we can see that the election, the predestination, the justification, the sanctification, the redemption, the propitiation, the ransom, the forgiveness of sins, and then glorification. Then there are many other to add, glorification, then the eternal life, and then reaching there, nobody can number it. Infinite things after reaching eternity. All this is included. And all this is given to us by the last three words of Jesus. It is finished. Praise God, it is finished. When he said that, this all irresistible grace of God, this efficacious grace of God was poured out to the human beings just by his death. It is finished. And you have all that, a big bundle of blessings in salvation. Praise God. Continue praising God. Go praising and singing and come back again praising and singing, because it is the grace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have no words. Just going through few verses, Lord, that is explained in the living word. We are thrilled and marveled by the grace of God. Lord, how much grace you have shown to everybody, to the evil and the good. There is no partiality from God. He is good to all. People are doing all things against you and blaspheming, but the God is good to all of them. And Lord, especially to us, thank you for opening our hearts like the Lydia's heart and taking us and making us thy children and now leading us heavenward. And Lord, the blessings are infinite. And it is all done by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. Thank you, Lord. We don't have enough words to give thanks. So millions and millions of thanksgivings from our hearts. Accept our praises and thanks. We pray all this in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.